yeah, as Marshall and Marissa were saying, I'm Riker, and I run a little youth group out in Windsor for some high schoolers, yeah. And they just asked me to come out and talk about the worship, worshipful communities. And I don't think that I'm necessarily qualified. I'm sure what I'm going to be saying this morning is pretty much probably a reminder to most of you, but I do love worship. So a little bit about me. I grew up in Fort Collins. I did sports. I played baseball, played basketball. I enjoy playing board games, and I like sci-fis are my favorite movie genre. And when I was 20, I encountered the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is really something. He is amazing. And so this morning, I don't really want my words, because my words can't do much, but I want his words, because he's our teacher, he's our comforter, and it's him who writes words on our hearts and takes them from our head to our hearts. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you are here, and I thank you that you're going to speak, and I pray that it would be a blessing to anyone who hears, and that I could just get out of the way and that you could speak. I loved it when Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the Father's mouth. And so his word is our life. It sustains us. And we have a tendency to generalize worship to be just a little, these moments, and these moments are worship, and they are worshipful. But worship is much broader than that. It's actually our lives. And so our first verse is in Romans 12:1. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it, but Romans 12:1 says to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is our true and proper worship. Some versions say spiritual service, but this is our true and proper worship. One of the Hebrew words for worship is shakah. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, but it is to bow down. It is to lower oneself. The Greek word is proskuneo, which means to kiss the hand of or to bow down. And so when we think about that verse in our lives, worship is it is to bow our lives down before God. And to say, not my will be done, but your will be done. My dad used to, I played a little baseball in college in Alamosa, Colorado. And my dad would drive down, 5 hours just to see a game. And so he would sacrifice his weekend to just say, hey, I want to support you. And in the same way, we sacrifice for him. In John chapter 5, Jesus is out healing people. He's praying for people. And he says a profound statement. He said, guys, I can only do what I see my Father doing. And then later, before he's about to die, Philip is with him. And Philip turns to him and says, hey, Jesus, if you could just show us the Father, then that would be enough for us. If we could just see the Father. And he says, Philip, haven't I been with you long enough? If you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. And I don't know if Jesus had the best singing voice or if he could shred the guitar, but Jesus was the best worshiper. He was the one who understood worship the best, because he only did what he saw the Father doing, and he was the image, as it says in Colossians, he was the visible image of the invisible God. And when God made us, he said, I'm making man in my image. So we could pull out a $1 bill and say, hey, whose image is on that $1 bill? And all of us could say George Washington, but we've never seen George Washington, but we know his image. In the same way, when people look at us, they should be able to see the image of Christ on earth. And So Jesus, his worship was his life, and his life laid down all the way into the end. And so in the same way, our worship is our lives laid down all the way to the end. We're going to jump to Ezekiel 28, verse 14 to start it off. I think they may have this slide. But Ezekiel got this revelation of Lucifer. God decided to show him this revelation. And that's where we're going to pick up. All right, Ezekiel 28, 14, talking about Lucifer. "You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. You were blameless in your ways until the day, from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you," or banished you, "O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." And here's the kicker, verse 17. "Your heart was proud because of your beauty." If we are to be the worshipful community that God made us to be, I believe that pride and worship cannot exist together. We cannot look at ourselves and say that we are the thing or live our lives for ourselves if we are to be a worshipful community. It has to be solely for him. And this was the sin that caused Satan to fall, was he looked at his own beauty rather than beholding God. It says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we will be a worshipful community that walks in humility. Next, we're going to jump to Leviticus 9. But the verse I'm looking at is out of Leviticus chapter 10. And I'm going to paraphrase the end of Leviticus 9. So what happens is Moses is with the Israelites. He's with his brother Aaron. And the glory of God comes down into the midst of the Israelites. And as the glory's there, they have a sacrifice for God. And God's fire comes out and it burns up this sacrifice. And it's this beautiful moment where the Israelites are filled with joy and they've encountered the glory of God. Just like I'm sure many of you have encountered the glory of God. And it changes you and it's powerful. Well, in chapter 10, we see Aaron's sons, Moses' nephews, and they're performing a sacrifice of incense. They've got incense in the in this tent of meeting. And as they're setting up this incense, all of a sudden, the fire of God comes out and it consumes these sons. It actually kills them. And Aaron's kind of looking at this like, why did this happen? And Moses says this profound statement in Leviticus 10, verse 3. It says, "Then Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near to me, I will be sanctified. And before all people, I will be glorified.'" And so we get what I believe is a key to entering into God's presence. If we're going to enter into God's presence, he must be held as holy and sacred. I see it in worship communities. The ones that I believe thrive are the ones who understand the sacredness and the holiness of God. And that it's not just singing a song, that it's not just using their talents, but we're coming into the presence of an almighty God. And so if we're to be the worshipful community that God has created us to be, we want to hold God in a sacred place, even though sometimes that's hard because we don't see him or we get into the day-to-day rhythm. I used to work at Camp Timberline. It's a little Christian camp up in the mountains. And I was a camp counselor up there. And as a camp counselor, I would work the ropes course and we would have the kids up in the cabin. And it was fun. But there was one night of the week, it was Wednesdays, that we had gospel night. And gospel night was the night that we would present the gospel to the kids. And they told us, counselors, you know, you can, you know, take the week lightly, have fun. But when you come into gospel night, come with reverence, come with just a soberness and an expectancy that God is going to move. And it was interesting because the most powerful nights were gospel nights because we showed up with expectancy that God was going to move. And we showed up with almost a reverence and a holiness, just like this holiness that Moses was talking about when he was talking with Aaron. The last scripture that we're going to look at is out of John 12. So if y'all want to jump there, I'm going to jump there as well. John 12, starting at verse 1. So Jesus is about to die, and they're about to celebrate Passover. It says, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one reclining at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So I just want you to imagine the setting here. We're in a room. Jesus probably has most of his disciples there, I would guess. We've got Mary, Lazarus, Martha. Probably at least 15 people are at this party. And you know, if you're at a dinner party, there's probably conversations that are happening in the corner. You're probably talking with your friends. And so I bet some of these disciples were just chatting. And all of a sudden, as they're chatting, this fragrance hits their noses. They're like, what is that? What is that fragrance? And it would have caused everyone in the room to turn and focus on what this smell was. And when they smell this fragrance, they look and they see Mary on her knees with her hair just rubbing this. The ointment was worth almost a year's wages. It says 300 days' wages, thousands of dollars in today's society. And she's taking it and rubbing it on his feet, which are about to be dirty, you know, when he leaves the party. And to Judas, this was offensive. And to the others, they were probably shocked, but they probably understood. But the interesting thing here is that Jesus was about to die. And he had told the disciples, hey, I'm not going to be with you. And they said, no, don't do that. You're not going to leave. Like, stay with us. He said, no, I'm going to die. The Son of Man, he's going to die, and he's going to be raised up. No one realized what time it was except for Mary. Mary knew it was time to anoint Jesus for his death. And we as a worshipful community want to be people who recognize what time it is. That even if the other disciples, even if the other believers don't know what time it is, what God has placed in us individually and stirred us to do, it's time for that thing. It's time to be a worshipful community that is in tune with what time it is and what season God has us in. And then beyond that, we want to be a worshipful community that is fragrant, that is not just normal and day-to-day, but that is something that whatever our worship is, whether that's our finance, whether that's our relationships, whether that's our friendships, whether that is when we are in the grocery store, that those things would be fragrant, that they would be an offering to God, even if it's just a little extra tip for the person cutting your hair, or I don't really want to talk to my coworker, but hey, how are you doing today? You know, just going the little extra miles to say, you know what, my life is going to be fragrant, and my life is going to be a life of worship. I'm going to present it as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And I am not here to beat the sheep. I'm not here to bring anyone down. This is for me as much as it is for everyone here. But yeah, if to be the worshipful community that we are and that we are called to be. We will be a community of humility. We will be a community who knows the holiness and the sacredness of God. And we will be a community that is fragrant and knows what time it is. I'm going to close in Hebrews 12. So we're going to jump to Hebrews 12, 22. I know I'm jumping around a lot this morning, but I like tying it all together, you know? So we're going to start Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. And then we're going to go 28 through 29. 12:22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteousness made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." And then we're going to fast forward here to verse 28. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's not a kingdom of made by man, it's made by God. It is intangible and it is unstoppable, and it permeates into every aspect of society. It's his reign. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." And that last part, God wants to consume us. He wants to be the God who we can go and sit in our prayer closets with, and he can consume us. And he can enjoy us and delight in us. That we can bring ourselves as a living sacrifice that is acceptable worship to him. All right, we're going to switch over to the worship camera, but I'll say a quick prayer. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these amazing people who have joined to listen to the things that you gave me, God. I just ask for your grace that we could be a worshipful community. Like actual grace that when I'm at work, when we're at work, and there's something that we can, some way that we can love you, some way that we can serve others, some way that we can serve our family. We just ask for that grace, Lord.